recording a atheist podcast at the Renaissance Festival on a Sunday. Oh my God, that's so many spaces on that atheist bingo card.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have Ron Bauman of the Tortuga Twins back for an unprecedented fifth time. We talk about crisis of faith and atheism and a bunch of other stuff.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Tim Wick.
Yes.
And we are here today in the luxurious trailer studios at the Renaissance Festival with five-time guest Ron Bauman.
My God.
Woo, I win, I win. I get to marry Nick. He can be my husband
now.
No,
God damn it.
Wait, what?
No.
I like him.
I didn't read this contract.
That's right. So we have Ron from the Tortuga Twins back with us again for the fifth time, unprecedented. And we are going to talk about you can hear the air quotes here, the crisis of faith that some atheists can have, and just what our experiences are with it and the general idea of it.
Sure.
And I know that, I guess for me, the when I think about that, it's this idea that a lot of people, you know, they'll go back and forth. You'd hear about deathbed conversions back to, you know, Christianity or whatever, or people getting more religious as they get older and going back from atheism to more of a theism. But I think this is more of a specific crisis that can happen. Is that kind of what you were thinking, Ron?
Well, actually, I got to give credit where credit was due. This was suggested by my wife, who is nearly as atheist as I am, but she's a kindler, gentler, willing to embrace slight things, sort of, you know,
sure.
You know, spiritual. She doesn't shit on people like I do. but every once in a while, she'll point out these inconsistencies. You know, it's not necessarily there's definitely crises. Mm-hmm. Like as I'm approaching 50 and I'm realizing that, you know, mortality isn't just an far-off idea, but now
right.
It's actually probably more likely than not,
mm-hmm.
You start to worry about it. I can't imagine a deathbed conversion. Did you guys hear about, who was it? Was one of those, the Indian skeptics that was, you know, busting the God men, and then he was dying? And he goes, look, I want to be very, very clear. If anyone says I had a last-minute conversion, they're mm-hmm. fucking lying.
He changes the same way.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. But here's one of the things that brought it to mind, and it's a funny story, and it makes me look bad, so win-win all the way around. And Heather needs it. So when we first started dating, Heather brought me one of those foxtails from a Renaissance festival. You know, they're everywhere, one of the foxtails.
Yeah.
And she gave me this foxtail. And the very next weekend, she comes back out, and then I'm not wearing the foxtail. And she goes, why aren't you wearing the foxtail? And I'm like, oh, because it's I'm not really comfortable. The fox is my totem animal. And she goes, what? Well, it's my totem animal. Excuse me, Mr. Atheist, Mr. The totem animal. It's like, well, you know, and then here I am backpedaling like crazy.
Sure.
You know, that whole thing. When my daughter was born, briefly I considered getting her baptized Catholic just as an insurance policy. And Heather, again, not the you know avid atheist that I am, goes, what?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Cognitive dissonance.
There's a little bit of that going on, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that a lot. I mean, I can see, like, especially if you have kids, I think that can happen a lot if you all of a sudden are like, well, now it's not just about me, and now it's not just about what I think. And if you could, and if all these people, I mean, because literally it's something like, what, 80% of the people in this country have some very strong belief in a religion that, I mean, whatever it is. And
right.
So to look around and be like, I mean, I'm in the minority, and now it's about my kids, and you know, you don't want to force anything on your kids that isn't, you know, so you have to kind of have to
yeah.
have that, like, maybe we should try to go to church, you know, like just to see if they like it, because I don't want to force it on them.
You start to get a kid, and I imagine you start to realize that you don't have all the answers to things, and you've been okay with that because you're an adult and you've, you know, come to realize how the world works and whatnot. But you have this kid that is going to want some answers and is going to have a lot of questions, and you start to maybe realize how little you know about some things or how little you – you know what I mean? Does that
– Well, there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of – I'm sure Tim will tell you that I bet you started wearing your seatbelt more after the boys were born.
No, I always wore my seatbelt because I had a really good – driver's ed teacher. Mm-hmm. This is going completely off track, but the dude, his name was Crash. and all he did was tell stories about accidents that he'd been in and how if he hadn't been wearing his seatbelt, he would be dead. And yeah. I came out of driver's ed going, I'm always fucking yeah. wearing my seatbelt.
But you understand my
point. I know. I hear yeah. your point that you think more about those safety issues. You think more about making seatbelts a obvious choice rather than something you just automatically do.
An obvious choice.
Well, and what about something like, you know, like you get cancer. You get cancer, and now it's like, it's not, I mean, maybe that is the crisis, and it's not a crisis of faith necessarily, but it's definitely more of a, it can definitely be something where now you're seeking out more spiritual comfort. Maybe you don't go all the way to, like, you know, Christianity, but like you say, you know, it's the crystals. Like someone says, you know, I'm giving you this, this black tourmaline because it absorbs negative energy and it's going to help you. And maybe when you hold it, it makes you feel a little better. But and now you're like, fuck, am I believing in crystals now? Like, I mean, or someone like Andy Kaufman had that where it was like, there's this Indian faith healer and he can cure your cancer. And he had, you know, lifelong skeptic and was just like, fuck it. Okay.
Desperate. Yeah,
gave him all that money. And it's, yeah.
One of the coolest things I ever heard was that there are only three prayers that matter, and those three prayers are wow, help, and thanks.
That's great.
You know, and it's it. And as an atheist, sometimes I get annoyed, or have been in the past. I get annoyed only that man, my life was great, and I want to thank somebody,
something, anything. Yeah.
And I got no one, you know, other than just stop and go, look how fucking great it is.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
You know, thank you, random chance. Yeah.
Thanks, Molly, for working so hard to get where we got ourselves.
As a solipsist, I might as well thank myself. Yeah. But, you know, and
thanks, circumstance.
Yeah. Something was really interesting too. When my mom was in the hospital with getting brain surgery, everyone was weighing in on my Facebook page, you know, hey, God is with her, blah, blah, blah. And then thanks to you particularly, Molly. Mm-hmm. You're like, she's in the hands of science and she's this and she's this. Nick weighed in on, as well. And it's like, thanks, guys. Thanks for getting it. You know? But in a moment like that, in a moment of fear, you have to go, even though you don't believe, you have to go, wouldn't it be comforting if?
And it's I have said before, like I catch myself, and it sounds like praying, but it's not praying. It's like wishing out loud. And I'll say out loud, like, God, I hope I get this job. Or God, I just hope that these test results come back in the way I want them. Or God, I hope that, you know, I get this raise or just anything.
Bargaining. Get me out of this and I'll never do that again.
But not even that. Not even that so much like, oh my God, if we could just, you know, if we could just get this house, I swear I would never drink. I would never do that. But more just like, it's like wishing, like really intense wishing and hoping.
In that context, I mean, God could be just as easily replaced by like boy or geez, like boy, I wish I get this job. You know, it's not God. It's not prayer.
I think it's hardwired into us. And I think it's hardwired into us as far back as imprinting on a parent that we look for a air quotes again, father figure, a leader figure, someone that we can, you know, appeal to, bargain with. I mean, isn't it a standard psychological idea that there are both internalizers and externalizers and they're both just a way of gaining control? Either by saying, I control all of this. Well, you don't. There's all these other outside forces. Right. Or an outside force. And by controlling or bargaining with either one of those forces, you get it all. But still, there's sometimes – when I was young and immortal, I didn't worry about my mortality.
Right.
You know, when I was 25 and I realized there wasn't an afterlife, if I died, no big deal.
You knew about it in a very – I mean, everyone knows you're going to die in that very
– abstract.
Abstract and intellectual sense. Of course, I know everything dies. Circle of life. I'm not an idiot. I know I'm going to die someday, but you don't feel it.
Yeah. And now at 50, and more importantly at 50 with so much to live for, it's like, fuck, this is a raw fucking deal.
Yeah.
Use this waste on the – right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's often the thing that I always talk about giving up as an atheist. You make a sacrifice when you come to that conclusion. I mean, it's not a sacrifice in the sense that it was always that way, right? You know, we always were not going to live forever.
Right.
It's just when you make that mental realization, when you come to that mental point of, you know what? There really isn't a God. There really isn't an afterlife. There is no logical reason for any of this. I cannot justify any of this stuff that I believed. You make a huge sacrifice because you give up all sorts of things like, you know, we talked about on another podcast. I've given up on the concept of ever seeing my father again.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's gone. It will never, ever happen.
It's another morning. It's another law. It's another loss.
I've given up on knowing what's going to happen to my kids after I die. Yeah, I've given up on so many things, and that's very hard. And there is that, I think, in some of us, and I don't want to say for everybody, there is that yearning, even for me, of wanting to find a way to make it all logically work. Mm-hmm. And knowing that I'm never gonna. It's not like I ever think I'm ever gonna like drift back to theism, mm-hmm. but more it's that feeling that I wish I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's having to give up Santa Claus all over again. You have to close the book. Mm-hmm. And start buying the presents.
Not that I wish I was wrong about Christianity, because I think Christianity is wrong, and I can't.
Yeah.
And Islam and Hinduism, every religion that's out there that's codified that I've read enough about, I don't wish I was wrong about any of them, because I think they're all fucked up inherently.
Yeah, indeed.
But the very concept of a God or an afterlife.
So I think when it comes to like crisis of faith for atheists, I feel that if you look at like cult indoctrination in general, when it's funny, like when Christians and stuff talk about their family members getting pulled into a cult because they were vulnerable or because they had experienced a loss or because, you know, there was some crisis in their life and they were vulnerable and taken advantage of by these people, I feel like an atheist crisis of faith probably happens under similar circumstances where bad things happen, your normal coping mechanisms aren't enough to deal with it, and so your brain gets desperate for help, or for answers, or for something, because it can't do it on its own.
Like pseudoscience.
And I mean, it's the same reason people self-medicate with drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. to cope, to deal. And I mean, yes, religion is the opiate of the masses, ha-ha, whatever, but I mean, it's another thing to replace. It's a crutch, in a sense. And so, of course, I think it's perfectly natural for someone at a weak point in their life to consider something like that, much in the same way it's kind of natural to want a stiff drink after a hard day.
Right.
I think that a big one that is, I don't know if we would call it crisis of faith, but a big, you know, disconnect that, and we were actually talking about this with our friend Jeffrey last night, is superstitions and how you can have, how you can have superstitions or, for example, I know one of mine and it's stupid and it's dumb, but I believe in pet heaven. I don't give a shit. Because it's so to me
comforting.
It's so comforting, and it's so unfair. And I can't, the fact that they can't understand me, if I could talk to them and they could understand, and I can say, it's your time to die and we're going to make it comfortable and I love you and I'm going to miss you so much. And they were like, and even if they didn't talk back, but I could just know that they knew that when they passed, I wouldn't feel like I needed to believe in pet heaven. But since I can't, I feel like I gotta. And superstition, same thing. Like I always wish on 11/11 and touch red. I do it. I don't give a shit. I fucking do it. And now it's just like, it's a fun thing. I don't think I'm making things happen. I'm not shaping the world with nothing bad's going to happen if I don't.
My wife has prescient dreams. And I know about confirmation bias, and I know about everything else, and clearly she doesn't have some sort of way to see the future. But every once in a while, it's like, what the fuck? How are you? What the?
Yeah.
Stop it. You're shaking me.
Yeah,
you're shaking
me.
Or I never talk about a contract until it's signed, or a great deal until it's signed, because you'll jinx it. Really? Really? What kind of skeptic are you, motherfucker?
Right? Yeah. I get the jinx thing a lot.
At work, I say, like, someone at work will be like, oh, it's been a really quiet day. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to hear you and give us more work to do.
We say break a leg.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's a custom now, but that's what
actors
is.
Actors are superstitious as fuck.
Actors
are
so superstitious as fuck. I actually will – I'll say Macbeth in a theater just to fuck with people.
You mean the Scottish play?
I want to circle back to two things that Nick was saying. I want to say first that, in my opinion, the only difference, and I hope you appreciate the irony of the religious people going, mm-hmm. oh, cults. The only difference between a cult and a religion is about 150 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, take it, as much fun as Book of Mormon
is. 10,000 followers.
Yeah. Take a look at as much fun as Book of Mormon is. That's a cult, dude.
Yeah, man.
It's a really well-accepted cult, but it's a cult. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing, you know, it's really easy for us to make fun of Xenu, but you know, the guy who died from a virgin mother who came back 3 days later, that's perfectly reasonable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Your nonsense isn't any more or less ridiculous than other nonsense. The only difference is social acceptability and exposure, tolerance, how much we tolerate it in our culture.
I love the motto that's going around for the atheist right now. We go one God further.
Yep.
Yeah. I like that
too. I believe fun. In, I believe in, I don't believe in the same number of gods as you, but one more. Yeah.
What I want to know is, do you guys know of any high profile, let's use this term, backsliders? You know, who had the last minute, you know, conversion. I mean, I know there's some historic ones.
There are, but most of those are bullshit. Rude. Like, a lot of people talk about the Darwin deathbed conversion, which didn't happen.
I know some personally. I know some people who, and they're not old. I wouldn't even say deathbed, like my age, maybe a little older, who were, and again, this gets to the whole, like, were they ever atheists?
Right.
Or were they mad at God atheists? Where it was, fuck you, God. Oh, yeah? I don't believe in you. I'm pointing to the sky. I don't believe in you, God. And like, and then later they come around. And I mean, a notable example was a friend of ours we had who was very much anti-religion, anti-theism, and atheist, and then disappeared and like went to Asia for a while and came back. And, you know, like now he's Buddhist. And now he's, and then for a while, and now he, I don't know what he is now, but for then he was very much about the universe and our place in it and being attuned with, and you know, and you know, my brother to some degree like was very much an atheist and very anti-religion and with me on that, and then, you know, got married and converted back to Catholicism. But he still sometimes, it was very frustrating. Okay. So at the baptism,
vaginas have magic power over you. That's all.
Yeah, vagina mancy.
Her brother and I are coworkers.
I am so stealing
her coworker. Her brother and I are coworkers in our day job, and he sends me over, you know, corporate messenger or whatever, little links to funny little pictures and stuff that are atheist pictures and atheist jokes and like kind of like religion bashing. And it's like, dude, like, you converted to Catholicism.
That's fine, because he does that for you, I feel. That's for you. He thinks, he knows you'll think you're funny. That's fine. But what bothers me is, like, at my nephew's baptism, he came up to us. He's like, the whole time I had my fingers crossed behind my back, I was like this. When I was saying the stuff, I was like this. And it's like, for one, why would you do that? Two, why do you think I give a shit about that? None of this matters, fingers crossed or not. Like, that's as far as I see it. Yeah. Like, none of it has any sense.
You're not, yeah, you're not committed either way.
Yeah, why are you, why would you?
It doesn't have less meaning because you crossed your fingers. Yeah. It has just as little meaning.
Well, and there's, I think, if he really doesn't believe, if he converted to Catholicism for his wife, there's an inherent dishonesty there.
Yeah, I think he believes. Absolutely. Is the thing. He doesn't, he just doesn't think it's cool to believe.
So, and that's, so, do you believe that our cause, and we're going to call it a cause just because I said it first, is served by people like the late, great Madeline Murray O'Hare, or the no under God pledge guy that was fighting in the Supreme Courts, or this case going on in the Air Force right now that you can't re-up without putting under God in there? Do you think our case is forwarded by that?
No, I think in circumstances of...
sorry, the away team's beaming aboard.
Shields up. I think in circumstances of equality and justice where individuals are, there's actual, people are actually being singled out or prevented from advancement due to something like this. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, like the whatever, 13 states or whatever, they have laws on books about how atheists can't hold office.
What?
Those, yeah.
They're unconstitutional, but it doesn't matter.
They're totally unconstitutional. They're also not worth fighting until some atheist is actually trying to be elected, or where that law would come into place and prevent them from taking office.
Yeah.
Which is probably something we don't have to worry about for a while. But I feel like going out of our way to pick those fights when no one actual oppression is occurring, I'm not saying it's wrong or it's bad or that I disagree, but if you're talking purely in terms of image and perception of non-atheists, of atheists, maybe those fights aren't worth fighting unless, like, in the Air Force, like, there's legitimately a guy who's being fucked because of this circumstance. Fight that. Absolutely.
I think we're actually getting most of our help right now from the Satanists.
It's honest so funny. To God.
No, like, because they're challenging the Hobby Lobby by saying, oh, good, we're glad you made this ruling, because now we're going to do this because we're a religion. They're actually challenging the Hobby Lobby rule. Lucian Greaves is doing great. I mean, the statue of it's Baphomet and the fighting that they're doing, where they're trying to say, well, if Hobby Lobby can deny contraceptive coverage, then we'd like like to, you know, do this. We like to,
by the way,
mandatory abortions.
Yeah, well, abortion has to be accessible because individual freedom is the tenet of our religion. Yeah,
so we're fighting it on that tenet.
Therefore, we get abortion and you can't take it away. Mm-hmm. Boom. Religious exemption.
So I think that it almost does more for us when somebody like that fights
on our behalf.
Turn your volume off.
I did. Oh, but it does say hi to Nick and Molly from Heather.
So hello, Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Oh, I mean, hi.
She didn't say hi to me because I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I think the reason these fights are important isn't. I don't think it's a cause of atheism. To me, it's a cause of the separation of church and state.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think. The problem that I have with the way people respond to it is they assume that it's just an atheist cause. And it's like, no, there are a lot of really good Christian thinkers out there who are very, very into the separation of church and state because they're like, what if our religion is no longer in?
What if the majority religion in this country turns to, I don't know, Islam as it's becoming one of the bigger religions in the world?
Or Mormonism or whatever. It's like, do you want a religion that's not yours
in power
to be making the rules? Because if you don't, then your religion can't make the rules
either.
Irony of people like Michelle Bachmann screaming about Sharia law and then like trying to involve their religion in the government is
and
just
failing
like,
to understand.
Do you don't get it? It's the same thing. It's a different religion, but it's the same thing.
It's the same problem.
I saw this great special on the Prophet Muhammad, peace be on his name. Like the teachings of Jesus.
He doesn't want to get shot.
No, peace be on his name is the right thing to say. But what a cool guy. Yeah. What a cool bunch of philosophy.
Yeah.
And then the followers fuck it.
Well, and Jesus was a cool dude, too.
Yeah. And then,
Jesus was washing prostitutes' feet and kissing lepers, making miracles. You know?
And then Paul of Tarsus or Saul of Tarsus became Paul.
Fucking with the banks. Peace loving hippie dude.
Taking off his shirt for the ladies to see.
Yeah. Look at that.
And that breathing scene.
Rock me, rock me, sexy Jesus.
Yes, sexy Jesus.
Yeah. But and the Air Force dude, seriously, there it's a case of, as I've written, there should never be a test, a God test for serving our country.
No,
yeah,
and
for anything.
Well,
except for religious service.
Yeah.
Nick and Molly, I'm sure Tim does. Are you guys old enough to remember though, Madeline Murray O'Hare?
I remember the name, but I couldn't place it right off the top of my back.
An irascible bitch. Awesome. But she would appear on like on Donahue and all these other, you know, early talk
Donahue.
Shows. And she was just mean and feisty. I mean, God love, pardon the pun, God love her. You know, but I don't.
Outspoken atheist or?
Oh, outspoken. Yeah. She would go to Supreme Court war. I mean, and I guess it's what you needed. She was the Malcolm X.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Bitches get shit done. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of conversation with atheists, like when we're at Convergence and there's a huge atheist group that goes to Convergence. And, you know, P.Z. Myers, I love P.Z. Myers, but he can be a real firebrand sometimes. He says things that even every now and again, I'm like, whoa, P.Z., I don't think I'd go
you should
that
never agree with someone 100%.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. But, I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with Hitchens and the same thing with Dawkins and everything like that. There are all sorts of different people within atheism. And I think the biggest problem we have is anytime somebody points to a member of the atheism group, of the group of people who are atheists, and says, well, that person speaks for all of them.
Well,
and it's just like that.
Christians say the same thing, though.
Yeah, it's like pointing to Westboro and being like, that guy speaks for all of you. No, they don't. No, they don't. Well, then fuck you. Then Hitchens doesn't speak for me.
Yeah.
I speak for me.
Yeah.
I hold my feet.
So, you know, the cause of atheism for me is merely the existence of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree with that. Well, I think this has been good. Should we get to 5 questions? I mean,
I'm ready.
All right. So we did a special thing with 5 questions this time. We actually asked our listeners, that's you guys who are listening, to give us some 5 questions. And we came up with 5 great ones. Thank you all for who responded.
Except for the ones we didn't pick.
Well, we still thank you, I guess. God damn. All right. So
Molly and I thank you.
Let's be
Tim
clear.
Tim says suck his dick.
Sucking is a good thing. Okay.
No, people only care about you and Molly anyway. I mean, listen, Ron's wife said hi to you guys. She doesn't even...
So this is the question that these are just for Ron. I'm just going to remind everybody at this table that this is for Ron to answer. All right. So Ron, question number 1, what's the geekiest, Eric Thompson wants to know, what's the geekiest thing you own?
I have to say, top of my head, I have in a storage locker in a cavern in Kansas City, in a Foot Locker, no less, I have a set of uncut, uncirculated Tick trading cards from the original comic.
Nice. Wow. Nice.
That top of my head, that's what I'd have to go
that's
with.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. You know, the show's coming back with Patrick Warburton.
Is it Warburton, definitely?
Yeah.
Look at the goosebumps. Yeah. See that radio goosebumps, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
They're doing a Captain Marvel movie. Shazam. Sorry,
Shazam,
not
yeah.
Yeah,
Shazam
and
Black Adam. Yeah,
and The Rock is cast as Black Adam. They haven't cast their Captain Marvel or Shazam yet, and so I was always like, fuck, you know, Patrick Warburton. Like, if you look at how Alex Ross draws Shazam, he looks just like Patrick Warburton. He actually drew him based on him a little bit, and it's like, oh, that'd be so great, but. I mean, as much as I want to see it, I'd rather see him as the Tick. And if that's the choice he makes, then hey, whatever. Fuck it.
What? I want to know what the discussion was to get the Tick back on television. Because I love the show. Nobody watched it.
I did.
We're nobodies.
Well, it's true. I don't count in demographics.
The discussion went like this. Hey, you guys, look how much money in Guardians of the Galaxy made. Hey, look, this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, it's doing pretty well.
Nerds have money.
these nerds seem to have money, and perhaps now is the time to take advantage of that.
As much as I love Deflatormouse, I really love Batmanuel, too.
Batmanuel is
a great adaptation. I hope they bring in some sewer urchin.
I hope they could bring back, I don't remember his name, eyeliner guy. The guy who looks like he's always wearing eyeliner, even though it's his name, Nestor something.
Nestor Carbonell.
He was
Batman. Well, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be great. Honestly, still, he still looks. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny and kind of circular if they cast Dustin Hoffman as sewer urchin?
Yeah, that would be great. That'd be great. Oh, question number two. This is from Tony Miller. If you could be a woman for a week, who and why? Or who and... I thought it was what you...
Who would you be?
Who would you be?
What would you do?
And why? And what would you do? Yeah.
As cliche as it is, I pick a sex pot, whether it's Monica Bellucci, who is, you know, number two on my list, or...
Why would you not pick number one?
Because it's Heather. I'm sorry.
You don't want to be Heather and fuck yourself? You don't want to have that experience?
Dude, no, I could do so much better than you if I were Heather. Are you kidding me? Megan Fox, say what you like about her. I think she's eminently easy on the eyes. And I'm sorry, I would do some whoring. I would absolutely experience it from the other side. Absolutely.
Gang bang?
As long as it was
maybe not on day one, right?
I mean, you're leaving the woman body. I mean,
yeah, we're not talking about like the Houston 600 guys gangbang.
No.
But you know what? I'd explore some options.
Excellent. I can see that. As a woman, I agree with these choices.
Hear that, women of the world? Molly speaks for you.
Yeah.
And apparently is angling for a gangbang.
Question number three from Amanda Stanton. If there were no forms of religion or politics, what cause would you embrace or speak out on next?
The absolute first choice, the absolute obvious choice, which will play right into your guys' wheelhouse, is gay rights.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh,
gay rights, absolutely.
Although, don't you think if there were no religion and politics, you wouldn't have to?
No, I think they're just. I think people will always. We're always tribe mentality. We're wired
fear
that
the
way,
other.
And they're the other. The only other thing that would appeal to me as much as that is universal education, especially starting with girls.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things I saw a while ago. It's like, you want to fight terrorism? Teach girls.
Yeah.
Teach girls because, you know.
Like, you want to know why they're kidnapping all those fucking girls from schools in
because
Nigeria?
Because they don't want them to be educated.
They're terrified of them being educated.
I love... being in the 21st century, I make sure that my daughter watches Ronda Rousey. I make sure my daughter watches Hillary Clinton. Hey, Scarlett, can girls fight? Fuck yeah, they can. Mm-hmm. That girl could rip off daddy's arm and beat him to death with it.
Have you shown her the chick who auditioned for American Ninja Warrior and did it fucking perfect?
Oh my God, that was fucking amazing.
Yeah. All those guys, kids are falling down. And then she's just like, what's the big deal, guys?
Bam, she's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that we live with so many possibilities, you know, that aren't limited by gender.
Like gangbangs.
But, dude, if I were Megan Fox, I'd invite you. I really would. But I'm also annoyed no end that still in the 21st century, there are women who are genital mutilation, you know, female circumcision, that, can't read, can't drive a car. In Saudi Arabia.
Legally
our cannot drive a car.
I mean, they can't drive because they're women. Yeah. But I mean, they're not allowed to drive.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what the... Just punch her in the back. Just punch her right in the jaw. You know, so both of those fights were the only ones that really appealed to me.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, I like that one a lot.
All right, so question four comes from Zach Nyhus. What animal do you wish was domesticated so you could have it as a pet?
Yay.
Or steed. I'm going to amend that and say, steed.
Well, your steed is like your pet. I mean, if you love it enough.
I suppose I could have a Toothless the Dragon, sign me right the fuck up.
Yeah.
If I could have a giant dragonfly, same thing, sign me up. Though I think that'd be a little bit bloodthirsty. We'd have to give it some intelligence.
Yeah.
If we're just talking about a regular.
Just domesticated. Like a cat or a dog is. Tiger. Yeah.
Tiger.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a show for an animal rescue group. And because I wrote this show for them, they invited me out, and I got to pet tigers and all this other stuff. And I said, I want a tiger. And he goes, no, you don't. You absolutely don't. There's no such thing as a tame tiger. There are tigers that will temporarily refrain from eating you. And all those YouTube videos where the tiger lion jumps on the guy, it's like, you're playing with your life. And if you don't believe me, ask Siegfried or Roy, whichever one of them happened.
Yeah. That's like the Chris Rock joke. That tiger didn't go crazy. That tiger went tiger.
Yeah, exactly. but if you could short circuit that, and I'm sure it's just a matter of time. Yeah,
if you could domesticate it, if there was a way to completely domesticate it,
give me a house cat tiger, man.
I agree with that. They purr. Awesome. They purr.
I love a tiger. Although I gotta say, just recently, I was at a place where they had like pelts of various great cats.
Oh yeah,
and the only reason I would say not a tiger is because holy crap, the pelt of a snow leopard is so soft. It's like, oh my god, it's amazing. Yeah. It's like velvet.
You'd want to domesticate something that has some level of intelligence. Like, you wouldn't want like a totally domesticated crocodile or alligator, because it's like, what's the point? They're kind of dumb reptiles.
Yeah. Some people have snakes as pets, and I'm like, why?
Sure.
Yeah.
There's some, I was watching YouTube videos of one of the types of monitor lizards, the one that has like a snaky long neck and longer head. They do this thing called tripoding, where they go up on their back two legs and they thump their tail down on the ground like a third leg, and they go up right, and they look around with this weird, like, it looks like a snake head on a lizard body, because they can really move their neck way around, and they look around, and they can be trained to do it as a trick, and like to do it for food and stuff like that, and they look like little lizard people. Like, it's fucking adorable.
It's a sleaze deck.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's super great.
I had a friend who had a some sort of skink, and it's, you know, about as long as my forearm, this thing, and it lived under his bed. He goes, I have a monster under my bed. I'm like, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Awesome. Question number five is from Cedius, and it's, which is your least favorite herb or spice? And/or spice. Endor spice. It's what Ewoks use to make their food taste good.
I know we're not supposed to answer, but mine is cilantro.
I'm the other side. I'm a pro cilantro team. I will order extra cilantro again just to annoy my wife, because she eats, it tastes like soap. Yeah,
it's not even a matter of opinion. It's not even cilantro is it's not genetics. A subjective argument. It's an objective argument, because it's a genetic thing.
It's an There are, I guess I'm going to have to go with some of the really absurdly, you know, beyond habanero peppers. I don't think that's food. That's
scorpion,
that's,
like Trinidad scorpion peppers.
That's punishment. You know,
ghost pepper.
Yeah,
just
no thanks.
No.
I just need to make sure everyone.
I disagree.
I'm just going to say, because honestly, like, I used to be garlic, but I've actually grown to love garlic lately. It's been weird, but I've made myself like it. I made myself start eating it.
She developed a resistance to it, Icane powder style.
I did. I'm like, I don't want to be an adult who doesn't like stuff, because I don't like being an adult who goes icky. So I am like, fuck it, I'm eating it. And I just made myself like it. And now I put it in stuff to the point where Nick's like, this has a lot of garlic. And it's like, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Eat that garlic, bitch.
Yeah, we
eat it.
We'll go out to dinner sometimes, and Heather goes, you know, I'll have it spicy, and he'll have it white guy.
I like her.
Accurate.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ron, so much. That was five brand new questions for your fifth time here. I'm look forward to 6, 7, 8, 9. You know, like,
but 10 is going to be awful.
Yeah, but fuck 10.
It's going to happen. Until you die.
I think I get to write you guys questions on 6. I think so too.
So we have really enjoyed talking about this. Please weigh in with your comments about what you, if you've had an atheist crisis of
or Or if you want to answer these questions.
Or if you have an idea of, you know, maybe like we, something, a way you interpret that that concept that we didn't get to, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Or even quirks.
Yeah. As always, you can comment on our website posting. You can also comment on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. And we really appreciate everybody and all the questions that you answered. Just, we love our listeners. So thanks, guys. Two more weekends left of the Renaissance Festival. We'll see you soon. Huzzah!
And such.
If I was going to be in a gangbang, it would have to be all Nick. Like, just like a bunch of different versions of Nick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Heather also wants to do dinner with you guys before we leave.
What the fuck? What's wrong with me?